so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Say the name Jesus in this place. See, we didn't come to church to lift up the name of Jesse. We didn't come to church to lift up the name of Kelsey. We come to church to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Because as we praise the name of Jesus Christ in this place, there is healing coming out of this place, amen. There is healing in this room. There is hope in this room. Come on. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We're not here to make eternity famous. We're not here to make Julio famous. We're not here to make Jesse famous. Me being famous isn't going to save anyone's soul. But the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will save your soul. We'll set you up. Come on. We'll bless your life. We'll help you walk in power and authority in Jesus' name. Come on, it is the name of Jesus that breaks chains. It is the name of Jesus that we come to lift up today. Come on, can you give the name of Jesus one more shout of praise in this place? Just give the Lord one more shout. We're thankful, God. We're thankful, God. Hallelujah. Man, welcome to church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. Super glad that you're here. Super stoked that you come to church today. And we've got a gift for you. Actually, my friend Kim is going to come up after the service and she's going to share with you about that gift. But after the service, go get that special gift we've got. We're obsessed with generosity here at Eternity Church. Right now, I want to start, before you take your seats, I want to read to you Philippians 3, 12 to 14. You ready for that? Philippians 3, 12 to 14. It starts awesome. I love this. Paul the Apostle, so humble. I love this. Check it out. Not that I have already obtained all this. Boom. He's like, yo, I'm going to tell y'all something, but I'm not even there yet. I want to get there, but I'm not even there yet. I want to be something, but I'm not even it yet. But together, let's get there together. Amen. So he says, not that I have already obtained all this or that I've already arrived at my goal. Come on, he hasn't arrived. Come on, nobody in this room has arrived. No, well, maybe your wife, but nobody else has arrived. Come on. The rest of us are still trying. Ain't no perfect people in here. Nobody has made it all the way to the prize yet. Come on. And we are the same as the Apostle Paul. Not that I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Let's all press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And on again he goes, right? He's like, hey, I haven't even talked about it yet, but now three times I'm telling you, I ain't there. I ain't there yet. I ain't done. I'm not at the goal. I haven't obtained it. But one thing that I do, forgetting what is behind me, I am straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which Christ has called me heavenward in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, that's a good word. I think I can leave and leave you with that, and you'll have had a good word today. Amen. But I'm going to preach. Who wants to receive from God? Give me a wave. Reach out your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, help. Amen. 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 You may take your seats. God bless you. We're about to close out 2019. Yeah, and it has been a good year for our church. It has been a great year. Now, it's been a lot of work and a lot of prayer and a lot of wisdom has gone into what God has done in our church this year, but it's been a great year. And not only that, this is the last weekend of the 2010s. You know that? This is the last church service you'll be in for the whole of the 2010s. Yeah. This is it. The last one. And so I'm so glad that you chose to spend your last weekend of the teen years here at Eternity Church. I'm so glad that you're closing out the decade with us. Although, apparently 10% of the population doesn't believe that the decade has ended yet. They believe that it ends at the end of 2020. How about that? They don't believe that it's ended yet. You guys can roll. I don't know what you're doing. Oh, you're going to stick around? Okay, you can stick around. All right. They're going to stick around. All right. They're the boss. Awesome. Some people believe that the decade ends at 2021. Did you know that? Now, I happen to be actually in that school of thought because it wasn't like Jesus died and then they had, okay, everyone, let's do year zero. No, they went to year one, right? But popular opinion has it, and everybody believes that we now measure time in the 10s and the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and on. And so I can get on board with that. Can we all get on board with that? So that nobody emails me afterwards and goes, your sermon sucked and it was all wrong because the decade's not ended yet. All right? Like, can we get past that? Let's all get together. We don't have to agree, but we're going to move on together. Amen. Come on. Either way, this is the last weekend of the teen years, and the teen years were awesome. They were bizarre. Like, some weird things happened in the teen years, didn't they? Like, crazy things happened. Do you remember when the entire world went crazy planking? Like, what was that all about? Right, people were planking in the weird. If you don't, that's planking. Like, what's planking? That's planking. People were planking everywhere. Me and my staff, we got involved in the planking. Yeah, that's not even real planking. You haven't engaged your core. I think we got one of my staff members here. Yep, that was about 10 years ago. One of my staff, or about 9 years ago, one of my staff members, and I were like, let's plank Melbourne. So we planked Melbourne and got in everybody's way. And I had abs of steel when I was younger. That's me. Y'all like that? No, that's me. I had abs of steel before I moved here and covered them in sugar. Come on. It was a weird thing. People doing that, like the planking challenge, see where you can plank. What about the washing detergent challenge? When the whole world went crazy eating detergent. Like, what was that all about? People went nuts eating Tide Pods everywhere, right? My dad would have loved that. My dad would have loved that, right? Did anyone cuss a little bit when they were young? You know, give me a wave, yeah. Holy people, like, no one never have in my... Shut up, you have so, right? Like Australians, we cuss more than Americans. Y'all know that, right? Anyone who's met me knows that, right? And America made a list of bad words and was like, these words are sin, don't say them. Like, the Bible doesn't say it at all, but y'all are like, these are sin, trust us. The Holy Spirit told us and didn't tell you, right? But there are some words in Australia that are bad, right? And but I said them anyway, right? So I cussed a little bit, even for an Australian when I was young. And my dad would wash my mouth out with soap. Did anyone else's mum and dad wash your mouth out with soap when you said bad words? Yeah, my mum and dad did. I think that's called child abuse in 2019, but it definitely wasn't 25 years ago. And my dad would have loved Tide Pods. Like, you know, you're just walking down the street, you say a bad word, and he's like, bam! Stuffs a Tide Pod in your mouth, right? Dad would have loved that, right? But in fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but like 7 years ago when we started Eternity Church, I used to cuss more, right? Does anyone remember that, right? But did you notice I cuss less now? Yeah, he was here back then. And I cuss less now, right? So someone say hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, whatever, y'all, bunch of... You know, anyway, but I cussed less now. And do you want to know how we did it? When the Tide Pod Challenge came around, we realized that's the magic ingredient. And so we gave my staff permission to make me eat Tide Pods when they catch me cussing. So we actually have a photo of our youth pastor here grabbing me by the ear and making me eat a Tide Pod. And so that's how I have stopped cussing. So, you know, give it up for Pastor Connor, you know. It works. Other crazy things happened. What about when a dude dancing like a flippin' horse became the most watched video in the history of the world? Gangnam Style. not doing it. Come on, stand up and dance, somebody. No, don't. No, don't. All right, we've got it. Here we go. Come on. All right, we're done.
Good work, Jess.
I can sing badly, but you don't want to see me dance badly, all right? It's a whole nother thing. You know, one of my favorite things that happened in this last decade is that the world did not end in 2012. So that was awesome. Personally, really glad it went that way, you know? Anyone else glad it went that way? There were people making bets that the world was going to end in 2012, and I'm like, how are you going to collect? Like, that is the dumb... I bet $1 billion that it's going to end. Like, yeah, great bet. Like, if you lose, it costs you $1 billion. If you win, you're dead. There was the whole aliens abducted an entire airplane thing. That sucked. And now every time everyone flies, they assume that their plane is next. Or is that just me? I was flying to Australia a few weeks ago, and the whole way there, I'm like, for sure the aliens are going to take my plane next. Like, because honestly, if you're an alien, why wouldn't you want to take this? You know? It's not funny. It's true. Right? You would... Okay, no one agrees with that, you know? But I do. I'm flying this afternoon, and I'm like, every time I fly, I'm like, are we going to be the next disappearing airplane? You know? Like, what happened here? Some weird things happened in the last 10 years, didn't they? Now, let's say there are aliens, all right? You know, I know this is, like, getting weird. You know, what's with the aliens today, Jesse? Look, just hear me out. Let's say that there are aliens somewhere in space. Can you imagine what they thought the day they looked down and we're all tipping buckets of ice on our heads? The whole world, they're like, bam. Like, what is wrong with the Earthlings? Let's go take a plane and figure it out, you know? Like, what happened there, you know? What about this? This is, like, sorry, but... Again, for the second time in history, a blue dress tried to tear the world apart. Again. Do you even know what this is about? Hands up if you know what this is about, right? Like, apparently this stupid blue dress went around the world and people were like, it's not blue. It is blue. It's a blue dress. Now, hands up if you thought that it was not a blue dress. Give me a wave. Like, what is wrong with you people? Like, it's a blue dress, all right? Like, it's clearly a blue dress, right? Come on. The whole world started fighting over a blue dress for the second time. I think every 20 years a blue dress comes and tries to destroy the world, right? We've got 20 more years, praise God. But let's be serious for a second, though. Something else really cool did happen, and we thank God for that. Like, probably what I think one of the most amazing, in fact, one of the most surprising things that happened in the last decade that blew everybody's mind was Leonardo DiCaprio finally won an Oscar. So that happened. Come on, let's give Leo a little cheer in here in case he's watching online. Welcome, Leo. We love you. Congratulations. Give it another shot. 30 years later, might get another one. Come on. Sorry, was that harsh? A little. You know another funny thing that happened? Again, like every 10 years, there's a bunch of peanuts out there that are like, Jesus is coming back on such and such a date. Like a whole bunch of other people were like, Jesus is coming back on this day. And evidently they paid zero attention to the fact that Jesus himself said, no one knows the time or the date except the Father in heaven. But they're like, yeah, but we do. Yeah, one up on you, Jesus. He told me and he didn't even tell you, son of God. Lots of stuff happened, hey, in the last 10 years. Some crazy stuff, some fun stuff. And lots of stuff happened in the last 12 months. And heaps of good things happened, right? Now, they don't make the news as much. Some bad things happened, but let me tell you, way more good stuff happened in the last 12 months than bad stuff, and way more good stuff happened in the last 10 years than bad stuff. God has been so good, amen? And like, I know lots of people were saved in our church, right? I know in our church, a lot of people got married in the last 12 months. In fact, I know because I married a lot of people in the last 12 months. And I mean, like, I stood up the front, like, not polygamy. I mean, like, I stood up and said, I now pronounce you husband and wife, right? Like, I didn't marry. Yeah, anyway, let's move on, right? A lot of people got married in the last 12 months, but some people got divorced, didn't they? In the last 10 years, a lot of people had babies. In the last 10 years, Lauren and I had a lot of babies. Too many babies. Too many babies. But some people lost loved ones in the last 12 months. Last 12 months, last 10 years even. Some people got promoted into the job that they've always wanted. Finally got a promotion. And some people lost their jobs. Lots of people are doing better financially. Lots of people, most people. But some people are worse off now at the end of this decade than they were at the start. And a lot of you are closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. In fact, most of you, I love hearing the stories. Pastor Jesse, since coming to Eternity Church, my relationship with God is so alive and so real and so vibrant. I love spending time with God. And that's most people's story. But some people feel like they've wandered away from God a little bit over the last 10 years. But no matter what happened to you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you haven't done that you should have done, listen up. He still reigns. Come on, he still reigns. Come on, he still reigns. He is still God. He's not done, amen. He's not done with you just yet. There is more. There is more. There's a story in Scripture. There's a story in Scripture where the Israelites were wandering around the desert for 40 years. And I know a lot of you feel like you've been wandering around the desert for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. There's a story in Scripture where the Israelites were wandering around the desert for 40 years. And it was because of their disobedience. And what's interesting is that in that time and in that season of Israel's direct and constant disobedience to God, God's heart to look after and God's heart to provide for his people was so strong and so evident. Amen. And every morning when they woke up, there would be manna on the ground, just sitting there. Manna, it's like a type of bread. There was bread on the ground full of nutrients and sustenance and everything that they needed for the day. It was waiting on the ground. There was also quail as well, waiting for them, and like Chick-fil-A every day on the ground. God is good, amen? Come on. It wasn't Dan Cathy that invented Chick-fil-A. It was God. And it started when the Israelites wandered around the desert. Hallelujah. And there was Chick-fil-A on the ground every single day. Every day. Every day. And God told them, take enough Chick-fil-A for today. You don't need to take it for tomorrow because I'll give you more tomorrow. You don't need to take it for next month. I'll give you more next month. Now, some of the people, they took more than they needed. Not more than they needed in that, well, my... That person only gets one chicken deluxe. This person gets two because they're bigger. No, that's all right. What they were doing is they were storing up Chick-fil-A for a week or for a month. They were trying to keep the food. They were trying to keep the manna for a whole month. But what happened was every morning they woke up and the next morning they opened their fridge and the manna that they had kept from the day before was full of maggots, just loaded with maggots, full of it. Church, Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. And you don't need the bread of life last week, but not tomorrow. You need the bread of life last year, last week, today, tomorrow, next year, next decade. You need the bread of life every day. You can't survive this next decade operating off the word of God that you got last year. You need to tap into and to continue to have a relationship with Jesus every single day. Jesus is the bread of life. And you don't want to hang on to yesterday's bread. And in the same way, Jesus wants to do a new thing in your life. A new thing today, a new thing tomorrow, a new thing in 2020, and a new thing in the next decade. He's got you where you are so that you can become all that you're called to be. Amen. He hasn't pulled you here to leave you there. There is new manna. There is new bread. There are new things that God wants to do in your life today. There are new things he wants to do in your life in 2020. Amen. He's not done. Someone say he's not done. Now, manna was good. It's not like it was a Big Mac. It was more like Chick-fil-A. Good. Glorious. Anointed, right? Like, manna is good. It's not like they were storing Big Macs and God's like, that ain't healthy. I'm going to put maggots in that. Stop eating unhealthy food. No, manna was good. Manna was healthy. Manna had the sustenance that they needed. It was a good thing. It came from God. But even good things held on to for too long will bring maggots into your life. Even good things that come from God that you hold on to for longer than God ever intended you to will bring maggots into your life. Church, I remember when in church we had overhead projectors, right? What's an overhead projector? Well, I'll tell you. It was a box about that wide, about this high. It was about that big, right? Sit on a table. It was magical. You put these clear pieces of film on there with words on it, and then the words would magically be thrown up onto a wall. Who's that? Oh, it's an overhead projector. Hey! Didn't even know we had that up there. That's an overhead projector. You put the words on, it throws up on the wall. I was the most anointed person in our church. Why? Because I got to control that thing, right? And so in the music, we would put words on there for people to sing. I could make you sing anything I wanted. You would just be like, and God, what? No, that's not theologically correct. You know, did that young? Yeah, I could make you sing anything, right? But overhead projectors were great. Why? Because everyone got sick of trying to read hymnals and things with writing so small that only like a 12-year-old could read it. Everyone got sick of that. Overhead projectors made it easier to worship together, right? They were good, but they get in the way today. They're not good now because God has given us something better, right? There's a better way to do it now. I remember when churches sung hymns every week. Hymns were good, weren't they? Right? Hymns were good. I love hymns. I like to sing them sometimes. But if we sung hymns every song, every day in church now, they would get in the way of the message. Now, occasionally hymns are good. God bless you. Enjoy your hymns. Maybe they're still good for you at your home, but they aren't helping to win the lost and make disciples anymore. You could be like, I wish we sung more hymns. Awesome. Sing them at home. If here we were singing 400-year-old songs, there ain't going to be any new people coming in here to give their lives to Jesus Christ. We aren't going to make disciples. Come on. They were good. They're not bad, but they're not for today. Now, we sing one like two or three times a year in church. We'll sing one in a service and we love it. But God is doing a new thing. Amen. I remember when there was this big move going on around the world, and when pastors would pray for people, they would fall over. Do you remember that? Like they pray for people, like hands of people, and the Holy Ghost would do something in their lives, and they would fall over. People falling over under the power of the Holy Spirit everywhere. It still happens occasionally. But I remember when God started doing a new thing, you know, that he was doing that and that was great. But when he started doing a new thing and people weren't falling over anymore, I remember pastors were like, ugh. You know, preachers would pray for people and they'd be like trying to push you over by your head. After a while, I started going up to altar calls like this. Come on, give it your best shot, pastor. You know, I started going to altar calls. I'm like, you ain't getting me on the ground, sir. Come on, right? My daddy told me if someone puts you on the ground, get up and deck them. So that's what's going to happen. Come on. Like, people started going to altar calls like this. Now, why? The Holy Spirit wasn't doing it anymore. He was doing it sometimes, right? And there was nothing wrong with it. I remember going to an altar call like this one day when Benny Perez was preaching. This is about 20 years ago. I was like, come on, Vegas guy. What you got? He was a youth pastor. I was at a youth camp. I needed the Holy Spirit to heal some brokenness in my heart. So I went up. I needed an encounter with God. What happened? He prayed for me and I went down, straight down. Because you know what? You can't arm wrestle and win against the Holy Spirit, right? Like, here's the thing. You don't need to push people. We don't need to try and force God to do things that he used to do. He's doing a new thing. And if he wants to have a throwback Thursday, then he'll have a throwback Thursday. Come on. But he's doing a new thing. Can I get an amen? You know, one day these lights might not be a thing. I don't know. We're not in love with the vessel. We're in love with the message. Amen. If God says, this isn't happening anymore, this isn't working. If culture is like, what do they got lights for? You know, like, we like pitch black worship now. Well, that'll be weird for me. But whatever, come on. Like in 50 years, in 100 years, it'll be totally different in this room, yeah? When God is doing a new thing, it's always going to bless you. When you get stuck in the old thing, it's always going to bring maggots into your life. God might have told you to stay single for 2 years after your marriage breakdown. You hang on to that word for 10 years, it's going to rob you of a blessing. Yeah? He's doing a new thing. He's got a new word. Hallelujah. Some things never change. If it's in the Word of God, that's how he wants us to do it. Sing and make music in your heart. Praise God. Make a joyful noise. Come on. Pray. Fast. Give your life to those are timeless. They're good things. There are good things in our past, but even a good thing at the wrong time can bring maggots into your life, amen? But then there are things that aren't so good in our past, right? For some of us, there are some very bad things that we need to let go of. There might be some hurt, there might be shame, there might be bitterness, addiction, sin, negative labels that other people have put on our lives that we need to let go of. And I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later on. But I pray your heart is being prepared right now. Prepared to respond to God, to let go of things that need to be let go of, that we don't carry things into the next decade that we've been carrying for the last decade. Amen. We're going to have people come down the front and declare those negative things get off us in Jesus' name. We're going to leave them in the teen years. Amen. Because God's got something new for you in the 20s. Hallelujah. We're going back to the 20s again. Hallelujah. It's going to be a great time. Praise God. It's not going to be like the last 20s though, because God's doing a new thing. Amen. Maybe what God did in your life this last year or even this last decade was amazing. Maybe it was awesome. Maybe it was the best year ever. We're still not doing 2019 again. We're not doing that. He's not doing that. You're not doing that. It ain't gonna work. Groundhog Day is made up. It doesn't happen. We're not gonna keep going and going and going and going until we perfect it. Or we're not gonna keep going and going and going and reliving it. Why? Hey, it's not that we don't want good things. It's just he has more good things for you. He has other things to do in your life. He wants to do more with you. He wants to show you more. He wants you to become more. Amen. Because God is doing a new thing. It's like when the prophet Isaiah spoke the word of God and he said, see, I am doing a new thing. Right now it springs up. Do you not see it? That's what he said. Right now it springs up. Do you not see it? And people don't see it because they get stuck in the past. They don't see it because they fell in love with a method. They fell in love with a vessel that God used instead of the message that God brings. They fell in love with a way of life instead of the bread of life. So many people are blocking and blocked what God wants to do. And so today, I want to share with you three things that you need to do to lay hold of what God wants to do in your life in the year 2020 and in the 20s. Does that sound good? The first one is to be grateful for what he's already done. The first thing you need to do if you want to lay hold of all he wants to do is to be grateful for what he's already done. That's why there's a reason in Scripture that it tells us to enter his gates, enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. See, thanksgiving will unlock something in you. Thanksgiving will unlock will unlock your heart and allow you to perceive what God has already done. It'll open your heart up to what God's going to do. But you need to enter with thanksgiving in your heart. See, thankfulness reminds me of what God has done. It reminds me that God can do it. Thankfulness reminds me of what He can do. God, You brought me through that. Whatever lays ahead, I know that You can bring me through that. God, You said You'd do that. I'm so thankful. Thank You so much. Now I know that whatever You ask me to do, that You're going to be there with me and You're going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're asking God for what's next, be thankful for what He's already done in your life. Come on. If you can't think of something to be thankful for, you need to go out for lunch with somebody else in this room. You need to go out for lunch with another believer. They will help you see something good in your life that God has done. Hey, hands up if you'll go out for lunch with anyone in this room who asked you to go out for lunch. Give me a wave. Not enough of you. Everybody wave right now so I feel better about the fellowship and the love of the people in our church. Awesome. There we go. Come on. Somebody in here will go out to lunch, especially if you buy them. What did you say? You'll take anyone here to Fleming's? Hallelujah! Take me! Yes, I'll take that steak. Well done, though, like Jesus would have had it in Jesus' name. I'd debate you, but I don't want to hurt you. Come on. There is something in your life to be thankful for. There is something in your life to be thankful for. Hallelujah. When Paul wrote to the Philippians to forget what lay behind, he didn't mean be ungrateful. Oh, God's never done anything. No, he means be thankful for what God has done in your past, but quit running toward it. We aren't running that way anymore. Come on, that is no longer one of the waypoints on your GPS. It has been done. I'm thankful that God did that in my life. But now I'm going to let it go and move on toward that which Christ has called me heavenward. Amen. And that leads me to point two. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You have to let go of your past if you want to lay a hold of what God wants to do in your future. You've got to let go of the bad things because you can't change it. You've got to let go of the good things because we aren't going to redo it. Come on. Philippians said, forgetting what lay behind, I'm pressing on. Are you still dreaming about the glory days? Oh, way back when, oh, back in my day, the greatest generation was, and on and on and on. Hey, they were great people in the greatest generation, but that is a massive failure of the world if it's the greatest generation that ever lived. God wants to do more. God wants to do more. Come on, more, more, more. Way back when, awesome. I'm glad that your way back when was awesome. But I reckon God wants your way back coming up. Come on, your way up in future to be way better than your way back when. Amen. And if you're stuck in way back when, you're going to miss out on way up there. Hallelujah. He's got more. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Don't come to church and be like, back in my day, we used to sing this. Hey, awesome. I'm glad it was good. That's not what we're doing anymore. Hallelujah. Don't come with a way back when attitude. Come with a way up there attitude. Amen. Behold, I am doing a new thing. The best is yet to come. You need to quit living like your life peaked in the good old days. He ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. Any one of you in this room, he is not done. He is not done. Oh, well, I'm the oldest person in the room. Awesome. He ain't done. He ain't done. There's a dude singing on our stage today for the first time he's ever sung on our stage, and it might be the first time he ever sung on any stage. I don't know. Dude's like 47 or something. I might have subtracted a bunch of years just to be politically correct. But I tell you what, it's his first time ever singing on stage. Why? Because God ain't done. God's not done blessing him. And God's not done blessing you through him, amen? God ain't done. There's still work for you to do. There's still new Christians that need to learn from you. 1,000 people have given their lives to Jesus Christ in this church this year. Awesome. Yay. May we never, ever be talking about way back when God won 1,000 souls. I'm looking forward to 2,000 and 4,000 and 10,000. Hallelujah. There will not be a way back when attitude. And even if, listen up, we need you. We need you to help those people become all that God has called them to be. We need young people to be inspired by the faithfulness in your marriage, by the faithfulness in your church attendance, by the faithfulness in your giving. We need young people to be inspired by you. Hey, you may have messed up your marriage. Well, guess what? You could be a caution and say, hey, this is what I did in my marriage. Don't do it. It didn't work out for me. Yes, God has blessed me now, but that hurt. We need you. Come on, you aren't done. Someone say amen. We're forgetting what lay behind. We're pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And I'm sure that there's, that, you know, that at least one person in this room, you know, maybe two, have some sin. I know it's two because it's me and one of you, all right? Right? It's really every one of us, right? Let me tell you, you have not peaked in your awesomeness, all right? Come on, you got some work to do. I got some work to do. Come on. Like, he's not done. And all of us in this room, we got something in our life, probably some sin that so easily entangles us. For you, it might be, you know, it might be something you look at. It might be something you say. It might be the way you talk, the way you treat people. It might be a nasty spirit, a nasty trait, a bad anger. Anger's not bad, but, you know, rage anger and bad anger is bad, right? It might be a mean spirit. Hey, we're going to pray and ask for freedom to push through that, right? We all have something that we need to get through. None of us are perfect, but listen up. When Scripture says to throw off the sin that so easily ensnares you, so easily entangles you, for some of you, it might not be a sin that you keep doing, but it might be a moment of sin that continues to entangle you now in your future. There might be something in your past that you've done, something that you said, something, somewhere that you went that wasn't right. And now you have allowed it to continue to dictate the terms of your future. How many of you wish you could have a redo for some things in 2019? Right? Like some things you did, some things you said, you're like, I need to do that again. Like, I wish I could go back, right? Anyone got anything in the last 10 years, right? And let me set you up with this verse. If you don't put your hand up, I do not even, like, I'm going to resign. You're going to pastor this church because, my goodness, you are like Jesus himself, right? Like, amazing, right? Has anyone in the last 10 years got anything at all that they wish they could go back and be like, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't say that! Don't go there! Don't look at that! Don't do it! No! It's going to hurt! Don't do that! It's going to suck the life out of you for 7 years! Anyone got something, right? Like, I do, right? I do. There are things I'm like, man, I wish I didn't say that. Like, what was I thinking? 100 people warned me. Don't touch that. Ow, it really does hurt. Like, we all have some things that we wish we could go back and do. But listen up, you cannot undo what was done. You can't. There will be no redos. We need to quit the repeats, amen. See, there's some things that you keep repeating in your head. It's on repeat, 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 repeat. You keep coming back over it and over it and over it. And there's a moment in your past that is still haunting you today. We gotta throw it off. We gotta throw it off. Paul said it, throw off that sin, throw off that moment that so easily entangles us today. Throw off that moment. Throw off that regret. Throw off that shame. Throw off that moment of sin that keeps entangling us. Throw it off, because we're not going to carry that weight into the next 10 years. You know what we're going to do? We're going to say, all right, God, this is what I've got. I give it to you. You carry it. God, I don't have perfection. I don't have a holiness to offer you. I don't have a righteousness to offer you. But I got this load of trash. Can you take it? Can you take it? Someone in here just got caught up when I said, I can't give him righteousness. I can't give him what? You can't. You can't offer righteousness to God. You can't offer holiness to God. He offered it to you. He gave it to you. He made you righteous. He made you holy. Come on. That's not something you can give him, but what you can give him is that crap in your life. God, it's like, you know, it's like Peter and Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have. Hey, I don't know what you have, but give him what you have. I tell you what, some of you need to throw off that moment and say, God, I can't carry this anymore. Would you use it? God, please use it. God, this has hurt me for 7 years, or for 17 years, or for 27 years, or for 37 years. God, this has hurt. This has been awful. But God, please don't let it be a waste. God, I give it to you. I give it to you. Would you use it to bless me? Would you use it to bless your kingdom? Do something good with it. See, Jesus has promised us that he will use everything to bless us. He said he will work everything together for our blessing. He didn't say, I'll work some of the things or the good things. He said everything. He's going to take the good, the bad, and the ugliest thing you ever did, and he can use it to bless you. All you have to do, give it to him. Give it to him. Throw it off in Jesus' name. Amen. This leads me to the last one. The last point and the most important thing today is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and hallelujah, you're surrounded by that cloud of witnesses and you're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. This is a big room full of cheerleaders cheering you on. You got this. You can do this. Amen. Come on. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that he marked out for us. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Church, you are not the author. You are not the perfecter of your faith. You are not the one that made you holy. You are not the one that made you righteous. Your holiness and your righteousness are not determined by your behavior. They are determined by his, amen. And he went to the cross with every darned thing that you ever did, every wrong thing that you ever said, every bad place that you ever went, he went to the cross with it, amen. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So when you fall over and when you make a mistake and when you say something stupid and when you do something stupid, you can stand up knowing that your faith has not been destroyed, because he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So you can get up and you can run. You can run the race that he marked out for you. Amen. Get up. Get up. Get up and praise him. Get up and chase him. Get up and fix your eyes on Jesus. Stop looking at the mud that you fell in. Stop looking at the sin that you're stuck in and fix your eyes on Jesus. That's where the freedom is. That's where the hope is. That's where the prize is, amen. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Quit fixing your eyes on the sin. Quit fixing your eyes on the stuff that's wrong. Quit fixing your eyes on even the prize or the things that you want. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, amen, because where he is, that's where the prize is. That thing that you so desperately want, where is it? It's where he is. Fix your eyes on Jesus. When you fall over, instead of being like, oh, I suck, be like, thank you, Jesus. And next time you make the worst mistake that you make in this year, in next year, don't be like, oh, I'm the worst. Be like, oh, thank God he's the best. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. He is the prize, and he has the prizes. Amen. If you can't see the prize, if you can't see where you're going, if you can't see what he has for you next, you can see him. You can fix your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus this year. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on, be a church more this year. Be around a cloud of witnesses more this year, amen? be in fellowship with other believers more this year. Script, Jesus said, I am in you and you are in me. Let me tell you, when you're hanging out with other believers, you're hanging out with Jesus. Amen. Come on, be around Jesus more this year. Spend more time in the Word of God this year. Spend more time in worship this year. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Be surrounded by a cloud of people cheering you on. Us here, them up there, and the Heavenly Father Himself cheering you on. Amen. You are surrounded by cheerleaders. People who say, yes, you can. Yes, you are. Yes, He can. Yes, He will. Amen. You know what? You want to be surrounded by people who, when you tell them that you've got cancer, they tell you about someone who was healed of cancer, not someone who died of cancer. You want to be around people who, even if they don't know someone who was healed of cancer, they tell you about the God who they know can heal cancer. Amen. Be surrounded by people who are overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on, would you stand up with me? Give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive this word today. Come on. Behold, He is doing a new thing. If you cannot perceive it, be grateful for what God has already done. Let go of your past, fix your eyes on Jesus, and you will experience the new thing that God wants to do. Amen. If you cannot perceive it, let me say it again. Be grateful for what He's already done. Let go of the past, fix your eyes on Jesus, and then you will see what God wants to do in your life moving forward. Amen. Come on. I think that is a good word to set you up to live the greatest year you've ever lived. It doesn't matter what happens in any other area of your life. You do this, you will finish 2020 feeling blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, well, we're going to take care of that right now. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Do it with me today, okay? I know a lot of people probably come to church this weekend and you wanted to experience God. You wanted to find God. Well, I'm going to tell you how to do that. Scripture says to believe in your heart and to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. It is important at this moment to take notice of what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you want to find God, stop sinning. If you want to find God, quit smoking. If you want to find God, don't get tattoos. If you want to find God, dress in a suit. It doesn't say any of that. It says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. End of story. If there's something in your life that's destructive to you, hurtful to others, or hindering God's good plans for your life, He will talk to you about it. At some point when your heart is ready to receive, and when He talks to you, He'll give you the strength and the power to win that battle in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. It's not my job to point my finger at you and tell you what you're doing wrong. It is my job to point toward Him and tell you to fix your eyes on Him. That's it. So today, I want you to step into the life that He planned for you. Before time began, He said, let us make mankind in our image. And at that moment, He thought of you. He thought of you. In Jeremiah, Scripture tells us that when He thought of you, that He planned to bless you. In fact, He knew that at some point, the world would get weird and people would think that God is bad. So He made it clear and explicitly said, I have plans not to harm you, but to bless you and to give you a future full of hope. Verbatim, God's word to you. And He thought of that plan to bless your life the moment He created the world. Today, I want you to step into His plan for your life. It's better than your plan. I want you to step into His plan for your life. Even if life is good right now, His plan is better. If life sucks right now, His plan is better. You need to give Him your life today. And I promise you, the next decade will be better than the last. Step one, meet Jesus. So here's how we're doing it. I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time. I want you to repeat it after me. Believe it in your heart and you'll be saved. Amen. So everyone in the room is going to pray it so that you're not alone. We're all going to pray it together just to remind the devil that he can't touch this. No. We're all going to pray it together, right? Just so you won't be alone. And if you've walked away from God, you're far away from God, today pray this prayer with us. If you've never had a friendship with God, pray this prayer with us. Your life is about to change. God bless. Let's pray. Everyone together. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it. Extra special, extra good, extra blessed, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on. If you pray that prayer, I've got three things I want you to do for me before we move on with our service. The first thing is you should tell somebody what you did today. Take a step of faith. Tell somebody. Say, hey, I prayed that prayer today. Throw it up on Instagram. Throw it up on Facebook, at My Eternity Church. Tag us. Tell someone, hey, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at Eternity Church today. You watch me now. It's going to be a blessed life. Amen. Tell someone. Tell the person who brought you to church. Tell your mama. Tell your daddy. Tell somebody that you prayed that prayer today, amen. The second thing I want you to do today is I want you to text the word SAVE to the number 25827. If you do that, we are going to send you a gift in the mail. We're going to send you a Bible. We're going to send you a CD of the worship that we sing here at Eternity Church. And we're also going to send you a gift card in the mail to a local coffee shop. Three things that will bless your faith, right? Come on, caffeine to wake you up. Word of God to bless you, and worship to draw you near to God. So text that number and we will send you that gift this week. We won't spam you, I promise, all right? Just text that number, we'll send you a gift. The third thing I want you to do is, in a moment, everyone's going to close their eyes. I'm going to count to three and I want you to lift up your hand so I can pray for you, okay? Now, we do this every week. There'll never be a week that we don't. The most important moment in this whole thing, in the whole reason we exist, so that people will give their lives to Jesus and step into the life He planned for them, amen? We're not so selfish that we aren't okay with doing it every single week. Right now, we want to pray for you, that God will bless you and bless the next year and the next decade of your life. So if you could close your eyes and bow your heads, no one looking around, no one at all, even you, if you're asking me, yeah, you too, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, and you gave your life to Jesus Christ today, while no one's looking around, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand if you want me to pray for you. I'm not gonna point you out. I'm not gonna come down there. I'm not gonna tell anyone who you are. I'm just gonna pray for you. So with every eye closed, on the count of three, lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3, go. Hands all over this place. I'm seeing couples. I'm seeing people everywhere. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep your hands up. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 people. 16 people. Is there anyone? 17 people. Is there anybody else? 17, 18 people. 19 people. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down right now. But church, let's pray for those 19 people at Central Campus. More gave their lives to Jesus at West Campus this morning, at the 9:30 service this morning and last night as well, some online. Let's pray for them right now. Everybody reach out your hands in a step of faith as we pray for these people. Heavenly Father, we pray for the 19 people in this service that just gave their life to you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the pain and the shame and the hurt that they've been carrying would be gone in Jesus' name. And in its place, their hearts would be overflowing with joy, overflowing with peace that the world cannot take away in Jesus' name. God, where there was wandering, I pray there would be purpose. That God, where there was doubt, there would be faith. that God, where there would be lonely, where there was loneliness, that there would now be a great hope and a conviction that you are with them, that they will never be alone again, that no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter what they say, that you won't unfriend them, that you won't leave them, that God, that their future is secure. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare favor and blessing and hope and joy and peace. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Church, our service will end in about 7 minutes. We started 5 minutes late today, and that's because we've been having a lot of people in the transition between services. That's why, as of next week and forever, the 11 o'clock service will now start at 11:15 to make more room for people in between the services. Also, we just want to make sure that our services have room for God to move, that we're not too bound, amen. That's the whole reason our service has changed recently. It's all about you having an experience with God, amen. We want you to have the opportunity to respond to what God says and does in your life, in the worship and in the sermon. We can respond in the offering. We can respond by coming down the front for prayer and getting prayer and making a declaration that something new is going to happen in our lives. Amen. And so that changes all next week. But right now, I'm going to invite Kim to come and share the offering word. But the second she's done, the second she walks off this stage, the second that the buckets go by you, once they're gone, if you want prayer, please don't walk out of this place when you want prayer. Please don't walk out of this place wishing something was different in your life. God wants to do a miracle in your life. So the second that bucket goes by, so we don't lose them, please run down the front. Come and get prayer. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.